Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Now, bless you, and thank you for the opportunity to be able to share this afternoon, to be with you this afternoon. I want to share a very simple devotional thought that's been helping shape my new year. This message is a part of a series at the moment at South Perth and Bull Creek that we've called My Rock, My Refuge. And it's based on Tim Keller's book, which is called A Year of Daily Devotions in the Psalms. So we've decided we're going to just hang out in the Psalms until we hit Easter. And that's the book cover. And I don't know whether anyone's ever seen that, but it is incredible. It's great. Just short, sharp, very, very... He's just a great thinker and so deep in a short amount of words. Fantastic is the way I like it. At the start of his book, Keller actually writes, and if you've got this book, you'll read these wonderful things about the Psalms. Let me just go through them really quickly. The Psalms were divinely inspired. They were the divinely inspired hymn book or the prayer book for the public worship of God in ancient Israel. Really important. And because they were not simply read, they were sung. And because they were sung, they penetrated the minds and the imaginations of the people as only music can do. You know, I think it's amazing how when you hear a song and you listen to it for some time, you just know the lyrics. I'm sure there's music that you've maybe grown up with. And there's this particular song and you could bang those lyrics off without any hesitation because it's seeped into your heart and into your soul. And it's amazing how a song can actually transport you in time, can't it? You know, maybe if you have a partner or a wife, you might have your song. And when you hear that song, it takes you back to that time when you were dating or whatever. They weren't just read, they were sung, and it was really important to be sung. The Psalms are written to be prayed, recited, as I've said already, to be sung, but not only all of those things, to be done. The Psalms were written to be done, not merely to be read. A theologian by the name of David Wenham says this, he says, using them repeatedly as a performative act that alters one's relationship with God in a way that merely listening does not. In a sense, we are to put them inside our own prayers, or perhaps to put our prayers inside them and approach God in that way. They are very special, the Psalms. Keller also says that the Psalms were Jesus' songbook. Did you know Psalm 113 to 118 were the Psalms that he sung during Passover? At the Passover, and there's every reason to assume that Jesus would have sung most of the Psalms. And he would have done that constantly through his life. It's also the book in the Bible that he quotes more than any other. And it's also the book that points to him and is all about him. Psalms are amazing. And so today I want to look at Psalm Chapter 1, right at the beginning. You know, at the start, you might be thinking, Happy New Year, that was about a month and a half ago. But just come with me on a bit of a journey here. You know, at the start of each new year, we're faced with choices, aren't we? Well, I don't know about you, but I certainly am. You know, I think it's a great time to reflect and think about what to leave behind. You know, you reflect on 2022 and you go, man, that was a hard year, or man, that happened, or I'm not going to leave that stuff there. And there's all these different things that I want to take with me, these good things that are in my heart that I want to take into 2023. So we make resolutions, don't we? Some of us make resolutions. Some of you might go on, oh, I've given up on making resolutions. They're just too hard or whatever. But you know what? We're currently 1.5 months into a relatively new year, aren't we? And I thought to myself, Isn't this a great opportunity? What a great opportunity to stop and reflect on maybe some of those things that you said in your heart or maybe wrote in your journal early on in the start of this new year, maybe back one, the first week of January. What are some of those things that you thought, you know what, Lord, this year it's going to be. Or this year, Lord, I'm going to do. Maybe you did think some of those things. Maybe you wrote some of those things down. And maybe you sit here today and I've just had 3 weeks annual leave. And I don't know about you, but when you do annual leave, it just throws all your routines and you throw all your plans out the door. So this is a great time for me to be reflecting on maybe I haven't got the traction that I wanted to have in place for some of those things that I said to the Lord at the beginning of the new year. So let me ask you a few questions. What choices did you make? What choices are you making? What hopes do you have for this year? What have you done about it in the month and a half that we've already had in this year? Can you believe it's already the middle of February? What have you done? Have you got some traction in those things? Why don't you turn to the person next to you and just to share one thing? You know, I threw a whole heap of questions at you then, but if you're like, oh, I didn't get any of them, get this one. What are you hoping for in 2023? Let's quickly just share one thing with the person next to you. Let's go. Real quick. What are you hoping for? Are you prepared? Are you prepared to say, hey, I had some hopes right at the beginning of this year and I was going to do some things and I haven't got any traction on those yet? Is there anyone in the room or is it only me tonight? It's only me. Okay. Why not? That's cool. Vulnerability is all right. But what are you hoping for in 2023? You know, I remember 1 year, I was getting to the point in my world where I just couldn't eat or drink anything that I wanted to eat or drink anymore. And so I made a resolution, no Coke for the whole year, or no fizzy drinks. And it was one of the hardest things that I did. But I managed to get through a whole year. And since then, I've drunk no Coke. And that's probably about 7-8 years ago. And I think that was a good decision, yeah? Then after that, I thought, okay, if I can do this, I can get rid of junk food. And so the next year, I did the whole... Do you know how hard that is? I did the whole year without junk food. And you know what? I look back now, and they are two really good decisions for my health. But it's interesting. You know, here's some of the most common things that people are thinking about and hoping for as they face a new year. Exercise more. Lose weight. Get organized. Learn a new skill or a hobby. Live life to the fullest. Who wants that? Ooh. Amen. Save more money. I won't ask you that. Spend less money. I won't ask you that either. Quit smoking. Spend more time with family and friends. Travel more now that we can travel. Read more. I know that's one thing that I'd love to do more in my life is to read more. A leader is a reader. And that's what they used to tell me anyway. But it's important that we're reading. You know, did any of those hit your list? What are you hoping for in 2023? Do you know what I want in 2023? I want to be blessed. That's what I want. I want to be blessed. I want to be happy in 2023. I want 2023 to be a happy and blessed year. Who wants a happy and blessed year? Of course we do. Of course we do. Well, let's read Psalm 1 together. And let's see what it says about happiness. Can we do that? Let's go. Read along with me. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of what? Water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Verse 4, not so with the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. That's a real powerful image, isn't it? Of the chaff. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. You know, contained in these three verses of this psalm, the first three verses is a beaut little message outline. And it's up there for you, a promise of blessing, the means of experiencing or for experiencing it, and then three, what it results in. And I'm just going to work through that really quickly now. Let's start with the first one, a promise of blessing or a promise of happiness. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. Do you know what blessed is here, literally? Blessed here is literally, oh, the happiness. When you see the word blessed, you need to also see the words, oh, the happiness. Oh, the happiness is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Did you know that blessed is the most frequently used Old Testament word? It's used a lot in the Old Testament. When applied to God, it's all about praising Him. Blessed be to God. It's all about praising Him. But when it's applied to us, it actually indicates a state of happiness. So when I say, be blessed, I'm saying, oh, I want you to be happy. I want you to have all that God has for you. But I want you to notice in the text what happens to the posture of our journey when we choose to keep company with the wicked. There's three words there that I've highlighted. This is what happens to our posture when we choose to keep company with the wicked. You see the words there? Walk, stand, sit. Walk, stand, sit. Maybe for a time when we're walking in that space, it might feel good. It feels good. And we feel good keeping company with the wicked, but eventually our spirituality, our godliness slows to where it's going nowhere or could even come to a complete stop. I'm sure that you can somehow relate to that in your spiritual journey. You know, it's not always roses in our journey, is it? Sometimes it gets really, really hard. And the reality is that we're all just one or a couple of small decisions away from going nowhere in our faith. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, the half-committed Christian is the most miserable person on earth. He's just enough in the world to be miserable in the presence of God, and he's just enough into God to be miserable in the world. It's so true. You know, it blows my mind sometimes where God just gives someone something really smart and they write it down and then it blesses people for centuries. But it's true. Blessed or happy is the one who disassociates from wickedness and associates with and is devoted to God. So how do we experience happiness? Let's move on to the next thing. Verse 2, it says, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. Well, what is the law of the Lord? What's the law of the Lord that's being referred to there? Well, here it is in reference to all of what God has said up to this point. Also commonly known as the Torah, which is the instructions from God for the purpose of helping the Israelites to live in harmony with both Him, God, and each other. So that's the Torah. But for us, as we sit here all of those years on, for us, the law is all of Scripture. That's what it means. To meditate is to ponder and to think about its implications for our own lives. And to delight in it means to not merely just comply and do a ticking the box exercise, but to love what God commands and then for us to do it. So let me ask you a couple of questions. I wonder Do you delight in what God commands? It's an interesting question. Do you delight in what God commands? And the next question is, what would you need to happen for you? What would you need to happen for you to delight in God's word and to make it an absolute priority in your life this year? What would need to happen? What would you need to put in place? What decisions would you need to make? What steps would be required? Please remember, I'm not here to tell you, hey, we got to go on this religious ticking box exercise, just read your Bible, boo-boo, and everything will be okay. It's not what I'm here to do. This is about delighting. This is about you and I delighting in God's word. It's about us meditating on it. It's about helping it mold us and shape us into the people of God that He wants us to be. Where we're then, as we're meditating on it day and night, we end up reflecting His glory. And I wanted to share with you as we finish up what it results in. If we're committed to the Word of God, what does it result in? Well, that person is like a tree planted in streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. I don't know about you, but this is a beautiful discipleship metaphor. Whenever you think about what's discipleship, this is what I'd love you to think. This is what discipleship means. This is what it's all about. The psalmist is saying here, the happiness of the godly is like a tree. A tree that is, and here's a few words, planted. The first word here is planted. Planted by a stream of water. And these trees that are planted by a stream of water, they're not like normal trees. They're solid. They're stable. They're strong. Their roots go deep. And they tap into, those roots tap into the source of life. So these trees are planted. They're also fruitful. You know what the natural byproduct of a healthy tree is? It's fruit. It's fruit. And when a tree is planted in good soil, being fed by the streams of living water, fruit is a byproduct. And it's important to note in the actual scripture, if you could remember in scripture, it actually says in season. And I think that's important for us to be reminded that, you know, kind of not, well, I think we think we should be producing fruit all the time, but it's actually in season. It doesn't say, you know what, if you don't get this right or you're not producing enough fruit in your life, it's not like that at all. It's actually fruit in season, and God's the one that produces the fruit anyway. So fruitful, planted, fruitful, and then here we have unwithered. You know, this tree is unwithered. Even during the tough, dry, and windy days, we've been experiencing some of them, haven't we? But it's been a mild summer, thank God. It's been a mild summer, which has been nice, but sometimes we get that easterly. It's a dry and it's a strong wind, and sometimes it can really get stuck into your plants. But even during the dry, the tough, windy days, because they're going to come, those days are going to come. You can be guaranteed that there's tough days around the corner. That's the reality. But Keller says this. He says, no amount of money, I think this is up there, no amount of money, power, and planning can prevent bereavement, dire illness, relationship betrayal, financial disaster, or a host of other troubles from entering your life. Human life is fatally fragile and subject to forces beyond our power to manage it. It's sobering, isn't it? But it's true. We will never succeed, as much as we like to try, as much as we like to put into our world or think we can put in our world, we will never succeed in removing pain. We will never succeed in removing suffering from this life. But when you are deeply rooted in God, you're deeply rooted in His Word, and you're planted near those streams of living water, You will not shrink back in those tough times. And lastly, there's a P word for Darren, prosperous. You know, and I love, you know, when I think about prosper, you know, probably all sorts of things come into your mind when you hear that word prosperous or prosperity. But one of the best definitions I've ever heard is this. Prosperous is the fulfillment, being prosperous or God prospering you is the fulfillment of God's heart for your life. Man, I love that. That's prosperity. Doesn't matter how big your bank account is or how many cars you have or whatever. Sometimes that's what my mind goes to. But to be prosperous is the fulfillment of God's heart for your life. It's God's blessing on whatever you do and whatever you say. It means your words and your works will advance and be in good condition. Be in a way that He can use them for His glory and to build His kingdom. Rather than standing or sitting, remember the standing in the company of wicked, rather than that, and that's super important. God, Keller says this, he says, God's word gives us the resilience of a tree with a source of living water that will never dry up. What an awesome picture. Can I encourage you to take that picture into the rest of this relatively new year, 1.5 months. As we finish up, if you want to be happy in 2023, choose godliness and make God's word a priority in your life. To not just read it, but to sing it. To not just read it, but memorize it. Meditate on it. And probably most importantly, remember what I said right at the beginning? We need to do it. We need to do it. Let it penetrate. Let it soak. Let it permeate your soul. And blessed and happy is the one who delights in God's word. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. God, I just want to thank you so much for Lifestreams Carawarra. I want to thank you for everybody in the room right now. Lord, bless them. Bless them, I pray. And Lord, as we move into the rest of our night, our week, our month, our year, Lord, I just want to pray that you would help us to choose you and to keep choosing you, to delight ourselves in you, to have a hunger and a thirst for your word like we never had. And God, to sit with it, to read it, to meditate on it, like the psalmist says there, day and night. Help us to do that by your Spirit. We're not going to do that in our own strength. We so often reduce this down to a box-ticking exercise. Lord, we don't want to do that. We want to delight in you. We want to get to know you. We want to know your heart for us. And we want you to bless us and prosper us throughout this year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Lifestreams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.